You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Lulu Campbell from Georgia. Lulu, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Lulu, I read an article online just the other day. You were held up by two young, look like black men. And they fired a gun at you. I want to get into that in a second. But before we do, for the benefit of listeners, just give them a little bit of background about who you are.
Okay. My real name is Louisa Campbell, and people know me by name Lulu, by all my customers, the people around in Georgia.
Okay. And where are you from, Lulu?
Philippines.
Okay. And what do you do here in the United States? You're living.
I own a lot of stores, convenience store, play market, beauty supply, gas station, different town, different cities.
Okay. And all of them are in Georgia?
All of Georgia, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And whereabouts in Georgia?
I got 5 in Macon, and I have some in Fort Valley, and I have one in Columbus, and that's what I know. There's a lot of them.
Sounds like you're a very serious entrepreneur. You obviously know how to make money.
It's only a couple stores I can support myself. Yeah, a couple stores only. But look at me, and I need to help people. I'm growing up poor, and I want to be giving people jobs. Instead of robbing people, raping people, and took the money, and killing people. So the only way I can stop that crime is maybe I can give them the job, and then they'd be okay. So that's why I'm opening more stores and giving the job. So each store I have is 4 people I can hire. So it's 4 people out of the crime. That's what I'm trying to say, people.
Right. So the only reason you operate your stores is to employ people so they don't go towards crime.
That's right.
Pretty much all the money you make goes to charity, right?
Yes. That's the thing going on, all charities.
Mm-hmm. It says here in the article it goes to some of them at least, the Fraternal Order of Police, Cancer Research, and Haiti Relief.
Yes, Haiti, yeah. The most bigger I give is the Haiti because other country, so I want to help other country. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have one woman talking to me why I'm helping people in other country. I live in the United States, and I told them, I said, well, I'm helping the United States too. I'm not only helping Haiti.
Right.
So I did not know what foundation I've been helping. They don't know about that.
Right. Well, everybody's always got something negative to say, right?
Instead
instead of her giving money. Never going to get away from that. So I'm looking at the article here.
Uh-huh.
I originally saw an article online in the Mail Online, which is a British newspaper, and the headline of that is Gun-Toting Grandmother 57 Foils Robbery in Wild Suburban Shootout.
Uh-huh.
And then I found another one in the Telegraph, which is a Georgia newspaper, and the headline of that is I Carry a Gun All the Time. Times as woman who thwarted Macon holdup attempt. Just for the benefit of the listeners, you were, I guess, dropping off your grandson, 15-year-old grandson?
15, yes.
Okay, kind of late at night, though, right?
Yes, dark.
About 1, 2 in the morning?
Yes, 1 or 2 in the morning. Yeah.
Okay, why don't you pick it up from there? What happened? Where were you coming from and going to?
I was coming from in my other store, in the name Shell Gas Station, the Riverside. My store in my daughter's house is not far away, probably 5 miles, I think. So that time I dropped my grandson. And because my daughter went to Florida to take good care of something about my dad, my son. So I babysit. So when I drop him off, I always turn on my lights on high beam to support my grandson be safe. But my hands already in my gun. Just in case something going on there, that minute is I'm already prepared to protect my grandson. So he went in. First thing he did is he went into his room. I followed my eyes to which light got to be on. And he did not turn on the kitchen because he was in the kitchen area. Why he did not turn on the kitchen light? That's what bothered me. So he went into his room and I saw the light. And that's the one he went in first. That's why I was looking for the phone. And then I said, let me call him, make sure it's nothing being robbed inside the windows. That's what I'm looking for, my phone.
Mm-hmm.
When the time I was looking for my phone, that's when I realized my pocketbook is in the back seat, driver's side. I went out, opened my side, and then I went outside to open the back door and looking for my phone again. And then suddenly, somebody whispering in my head said, pick up your pocketbook and put it in the front driver's side. So when I put it in and then lock your door. He said, lock your door. So that's what in my head. So I followed that whisper. And when I did it, I start looking for my phone again. And that's the minute I hear, it's okay, I said bad words, though, what he said.
Say exactly what you heard from this person.
Okay. He said, give me your fucking money and open the fucking door. I look where the voice come from, and I see it's in the passenger side voice. I said, oh, my God, I will get robbed. And I wasn't going to open the door, baby, because you're going to kill me anyway. And I said, I'm going to shoot through in the window. He said, it's a break in to me. I said, do what you want to do. But my eyes is concentrate to his gun. I learned about the gun because I've been trained about the gun. And if you shoot the gun going to come out red, like a fire coming out. And when I see that one, I went back up my back to avoid that bullet. And then it went through my driver's side and broke all the windows. And then when I have that feel, he shoot first and I put my hand up and shoot him. Okay. And then to that time, I was backing up my back to invest the time I saw the other person in the front of me. Because I have a high beam. That's when I see him. He put his arm in by the elbow. You can see me through because the high beam and then shooting me in the same time. And then that's the one I ducked to save myself, not gonna be hit his bullet. So when I shoot back to him, because I ducked, my hand went up. I miss him. And that's the one I know. Police told me I shoot back. And the police interviewed me and said, Lulu, did you shoot back? I said, I don't even remember. It's so fast. I don't really remember. And then they show me in my car. It said, Lulu, this is your bullet. That's why you miss him. So that's the one in the windshield. And then the gunman shooting under the car went through the water pump and went through the dashboard, the hood, 9 bullets in the hood and 3 bullets under the car. And that 3 bullets, if it went through, I got hit by driver's side. That's a 3 bullet. And the problem is the bullet, it didn't get through. So the bullet stopped right there. So that's what saved me. Policeman said, there's no way I'd be alive. No way. I was surprised myself. I was alive. That's why I was telling people that whisper, somebody whispering, and you have to follow that whisper. That's the one helping you. That's my son helping me.
What happened to your son?
He passed away. He passed away.
How did he pass away?
And he said, Caesar, I don't know what that Caesar means. Somebody tried to survive him, and he didn't get survived.
Sorry.
And that's what hurt me a lot. That minute, I said, I'm going to follow my son. And only 2 weeks apart, and I have to save myself to protect my daughter and my grandson. I have to be survived. If I don't survive, nobody gonna support my daughter and my grandson. I have to fight for my life, to do something for myself. And I did. I made it. I made it to all that bullet. I've been told 27 shots. I said myself, 27 shots? That's a lot shot. Only for me, it's one shot, you're dead. But 27 shots, that's very lucky. Very lucky.
I want to back up a little bit to when you were saying that you were coming from your Shell gas station store on Riverside to your daughter's home, and that was only about 5 miles away.
Uh-huh, 5 miles away.
Right. Is it very dangerous in that area?
Yes, yes. In Macon, Georgia, it's very dangerous. So
what makes it dangerous?
A lot of thugs, a lot of bad people. A lot of people, those good people, but these people, you don't want to work. That's why I'm trying to tell you, I hire people, and I don't even ask for references. I don't ask for a report from the police. I don't ask that. I want to give them a chance. If they're bad people, they're going to change their life. They're going to turn around their life, and they're going to become the good life. So that's why I never ask that application. I don't give them application at all. I just asking them, are you willing to work in my shift? Are you willing to be honest with me? Are you willing to be working any time? Yeah, and they say yes, and I hire them.
Wow.
That's all. I don't have no application.
Hmm. So most of these thugs that don't want to work, do they have anything in common? Are they all white? Are they all black?
Most of them, a lot of people, thug is black, some of them white. You don't know. You cannot tell. You cannot judge person, you know?
But I mean, from what you know, from driving around and seeing what you see and reading what you read and knowing what you know, are most of these thugs black?
Let me tell you something about me. I'm so busy, I don't have no time to read the newspaper. I don't watch the television. That's 2 things I don't do.
Good.
And I sell newspaper in my store. And I have TV everywhere, but I don't have no time to watch news.
That's a good thing. So what about from your personal observation, from what you actually see? Do you think that most of these thugs, these unemployed thugs, are black? Or do you think that most of them are white? Or do you think it's half and half? Or you just don't have any idea?
I just don't have no idea.
Okay, got
it. That's why I try to help everyone the best I can.
You don't pay attention to the color of their skin?
No, I don't.
When you were in the car, you were looking for your phone. You got out of the car at 2 in the morning.
Yes.
Knowing that it's a dangerous area.
That's right.
Because you left your pocketbook in the back and you couldn't reach it, right?
Yes, I cannot reach it.
Because I'm looking at a photograph of you next to your bullet-ridden car, and you look rather short, are you?
Yes, I'm very short. I've moved my car close to the windshield because I cannot reach the pedal.
How tall
are
you?
That's why I do that. Oh, about 4'7", 4'8", something like that.
Okay.
I'm very short.
You know, you're little relatively, and of course there's nothing wrong with being that high, just like there's nothing wrong with being 7'7". But the point I'm making is that's why you had to get out of the car, because if you didn't get out of the car, you would have had to crawl into the back to grab it.
Yes,
so you took a chance. You took a chance, you got out of the car, you got your pocketbook, then at that same time, a voice came into your head, which you believe is your son, saying, get back in the car and put the pocketbook on the front seat.
Yes.
To protect you. Okay.
And lock the door.
And lock the door, too. And that's what I was going to ask, was the door locked? And they were. So shortly after that, you saw somebody or you heard somebody talking to you from the passenger side window, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And this was one of these black thugs.
Yes,
okay.
That's right.
This guy, Brenton Lance Spencer. So he was there. The window was rolled up. He was at that side, on the passenger side, with a gun pointed at you?
Yes, the gun pointed at me.
And he said what you said, give me the fucking money and open the fucking door.
Yeah.
Right. He shot first, right?
Yeah, he shot first.
How soon after he said that did he shoot?
When he said that two words, give me the money and open the door, and I said no, because if you're going to open the door, you're going to kill me anyway. So he said, I'm going to shoot through the window. So that's what he did.
So he told you he was going to shoot through the window?
Yes.
You didn't have any problem hearing him, and he didn't have any problem hearing you through the window?
No, it's too close. It's nothing loud.
Okay, what kind of car did you have?
Toyota Tacoma pickup truck.
So he heard you. You heard him, no problem. When he started talking, of course, you had your pocketbook because you were looking for your cell phone.
Uh-huh.
And you had your hand on the gun, right?
My gun's always under my leg, all the time.
Okay, what kind of gun is it?
.38 special. When I know I go get robbed, so my hand already in my leg.
Okay.
Under my leg, but he did not know what's under the leg.
Right. Did you have the light on in the cabin of the car?
No lights on.
Was the car running or were the lights just on the outside?
It's off because I need the key to go out in the back because I have another lock for my door.
The car was off, but the high beams were on.
Yeah, high beams on.
He said what he said. You said you're not going to open it because you're going to kill me anyway. How soon after what you said did this savage shoot his gun into your car?
After he said it, fast one. I was concentrating his gun. I'm waiting for if I see the red spot from the gun, I know that's a fire.
Right.
And that's the one I've been trained from my ex-husband. My ex-husband is a policeman, military policeman, and my son is military intelligent. So really, they're all carrying guns.
And they trained you?
Yes, they trained me.
So he fired the gun.
He fired the gun, yes.
Right, you saw the red flash.
Mm-hmm.
The bullet shattered the window, I guess.
Yes, uh-huh.
And obviously it missed you.
Yeah.
Did he fire again?
Only I know, I don't remember he fired again because so fast, I don't remember how many fire he fired. The same time I saw him firing, and at the same time I raised my hand and fired back. That's all I remember. I don't even know I hit him.
Right, but you did hit him, though.
Yeah, I did hit him. I find out I hit him when the police, I was another street because I drive around. Police come in and said, ask her what kind of gun she has. And then hearing about what police said, I said, 38. And they said, oh, you got it. That's what they're talking to police. Oh, you got it. And then I answer him, what do you mean I got it? And they said, you got that man, baby. You got that man. Then I start praying for him to be survived.
Right.
I don't want him to be dead because I don't want the mother. All of us come from the mother, and I don't want him, the mother, realize his son died or something. I don't want the mother feel it, what I'm feeling now. I'm still hurt. Every time I talk about my son, I cry.
I understand.
I'm not ready to be let him go.
No, how long ago was this, Lulu?
About 2 weeks.
Oh.
He died before his birthday. I think it's 6 or 7 days more to be his birthday, I think. He died in 31.
I'm so sorry about that.
I'm still crying every day. I cannot work, and I'm so sick. I just cry. I cannot work.
I know there's a lot of people around the United States and the world that are so happy that it turned out the way it did. And they're so thankful that you're okay and that you struck back. And I know you didn't want to strike back to hurt the person. But this person, and it seems like there's a lot of people like this in the United States specifically, they think nothing of murdering people. And
yeah.
I look at the picture of your car,
oh, yeah.
and I see how this other savage put all these bullets in your car
yep.
without any regard for what he or it, I'll call it it was doing, because it's not human, it's a savage,
yeah.
when somebody does this. After you fired, did you see what happened to that guy, or were your eyes immediately drawn to the front where the other savage was?
When I ducked, and that's when they start firing, then I raised my body up, and I looked to the right. That's the one it come from. So on the right, that's the first thing I look first. So, but my gun is ready to shoot again in case they're still there. And I don't see him no more. So I look to the left. I don't see nobody running or nothing. So that's when I try to back up. And I have a hard time to push my brake. I feel maybe it's just nervous breakdown. That's why I have problem to push brake. And then I continue driving, go to the left side, and then I go turn around, looking around, and then I hit the light. And then I went through the light and tried to get the people's attention. And that's the one I'm dialing 911, and then nobody stopped for me. I needed help. Nobody stopped for me. And I dial 911, and then guess what? The 911, I thought it's 911 always. We talk to them. It's alive. It's not. Somehow, when I dial 911, said, push 1 for emergency, push 2 if accident, push 3 something. And then I said, what kind of 911 is this? Then I hung up, and then that's the time I saw my daughter calling me, and I said, baby, you okay, mommy? I said, no, okay. So you call 911 for me, I can get through. You have to help your nephew. He's in there. I drive around. I try to find that dog. So at least maybe it's still there. I can run him over. At least, see, I've been trained about my son and my husband said, you have to knock them down to be have the police something to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
They make sure they're not running. They can catch them. That's what my husband said. So I just following, looking for them. At least I can run them down or something. I don't know. I just panicked, really, what's going on. And then I dial 911 again to get my police can come get me. And that's the one alive, 911. And me, where are you? I said, I'm driving. And he told me, stop driving. You have to park. I said, I'm scared to park because they might be still following me. That's why I drive around. And they say, please, Miss Campbell, you have to stop. Police station in there somewhere. The police is on the way. So I said, oh, wait a minute, there's a fire department right there beside. He said, okay, park at fire department because somebody working in there. So I'll park there next to it. Mm-hmm. And that's when the police arrived.
How far away was the fire department from your daughter's home?
Not even 1 mile.
Have you thought about advising your daughter to move out of that area to somewhere else?
Yeah, I did. And we're moving to Florida. We're buying a house over there.
Good.
I don't want, I lost my 2 daughters. You know, I lost already 1 son, so I make sure, yes, stay away.
Yeah. Are the savages getting worse there, you think?
Oh, yes, get worse.
Okay. You got the guy. You didn't see where he went. Maybe he went down on the ground or he ran away somewhere.
Yeah.
The savage in the front, he was really just wildly firing into your car, obviously trying to kill you, trying to kill a person who worked for a living, who supports a bunch of people, who doesn't even collect the money that he makes. So this savage had no idea who you were. He didn't care. He probably wouldn't even look at you while he was killing you. He was trying to kill you and steal your money so he didn't have to work anymore.
Later on, when I talk to the police, all the police talking, they don't know, I don't understand how they talk because my husband's a cop. That person got hit, they got accident, and they went, stop somebody, take them to the ambulance, you know, take him to the hospital. And then they're looking around it, they have a gun, 45, empty, both of them empty, and one of them is a little bit used, that's not completely. So possibly they have more, 2 or 3 guns.
They had a car accident.
Yeah, they have a car accident.
So they were running away from you.
Yes.
And they were so nervous they smashed their car into a telephone pole?
I don't know, they went somewhere.
And so then I guess the police came and they brought them to the hospital, and then they discovered that these were the 2 savages that did this to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
they saw obviously a bullet wound. And you said you hope nothing happens to savage number one.
Yes.
That's very nice of you and everything. Did you think about visiting the savage in the hospital?
I was thinking about that, visiting him.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, and then somebody told me again, my brain, and said, why are you going to visit him? She could be remember you more. He might kill me right there. And then the family will be there. So they got to be hating me more. Why should I care? You know, like that. In my brain. But for me, it's my heart. I always follow my heart.
Right.
People is human. Everybody make mistake. Everybody break the law. I believe those.
Right.
If you struggle time life, people do bad things. So they struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for my whole life, so that's why I did struggle.
Do you know the condition of Savage Number One by any chance?
Only I know is he survived, he'd be okay because they have a security guard and police in there in the door. And they said they bodyguard him, and then after he get out, he's going to go be in jail.
So he's going to live.
He's going to live, yes.
Okay, that's too bad. And then Savage number two, Dontre Horatio Shivers. You didn't hit him, but did they get him?
No, they're still looking for him. And then I said, I was going to bring money out, a wire to bring him in. Because people going to want that money. Because somebody going to tell on him. So I was thinking to the award. And the police said, why you have to give your money away? You can save that money for yourself. He said, we're going to get him anyway, no matter what. We're going to find him. On the Estimate Police Station.
Okay. This happened just this past Saturday, right, Lulu?
Yes.
So today, of course, is Thursday. This just happened Saturday. They still haven't captured him yet.
No,
and
that's it.
Macon is pretty much almost right in the center of Georgia, right?
Yes.
And let me take a look here. The population looked like about a little over 90,000, at least in 2010. And I want to take a look here at the demographics. It looks like the population has gone down a bit, but the racial makeup of the city of Macon, Georgia, 62.5% African-American, 35.5% white, 0.19% Native American, 0.65% Asian. I guess that's a category that you would be in, right?
Yeah.
0.03% Pacific Islander and 0.46% from other races. So most of the population of the city, over the majority, are black.
Yes.
And you're moving to Florida, right?
Yeah, I'm moving to Florida because I'm trying to wait to sell my store.
Good.
But I'm moving my daughter now, so
okay.
You know, I put my employee in there to sleep with them to make sure they're safe.
Sure.
And my employee have a gun, too.
How long have you been in Macon?
I married my husband in 74, and then we stationed in Texas for 6 years. After that, we went to Georgia. I think I'm 40 years in the United States.
And you met your husband in he was in the military, I guess. You met him in the Philippines?
Yes, I was in the military. I don't want to come to America because I'm scared of Americans. They're tall, big.
Yeah. What branch was he in?
Air Force.
Was it at Clark Air Force Base?
In Clark, yeah. That's what I'm in him. In the Clark.
In Manila.
And my son is Army.
Right. And Clark, of course, is closed now, I think. So you've been in Macon for about 2 decades.
Oh, yeah.
And how has it deteriorated in the time that you've been there?
Oh, they get bigger and bigger and getting beautiful and good people. A lot of people, good people, too.
Yeah, but there's more crime, though, right?
Yeah, there's more crime.
Right, so okay, that's what I meant by deteriorating. Did the police tell you that you'd be careful?
Yes.
Because Savage number two might try to do something to you. Did they say that?
Yes.
What did they say?
That's why they said be careful because it's dangerous. One has not been caught. And they said, be careful. You have to get your good gun, more than 7 bullets or 8 bullets. So actually, I bought me a gun yesterday. It's 50 shots.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought me another gun because I never had a gun more than 15 to 16 shots. My machine gun is more, about 22 shots, I think. I leave that in the convenience store. You don't want to carry around like an army or something.
Why don't you just get a tank? You could use a tank to go from each of your stores because if it's that bad, now you got a machine gun with 50 rounds.
I didn't have a machine gun. So I went in the store yesterday and actually they see me and the one said, damn it, come over here. I'm going to sell you a gun more than your 38. So I don't know how many shots, 7 or 8 bullets or something. I'm going to sell you more than that. You need to get this kind of gun. So they sold me a gun yesterday. Oh, I bought me 3 guns yesterday.
It's easy to buy guns in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You have a new law. You don't have to carry a license to have weapons. All you have to do is you don't have no background. You don't have the background, and then you're allowed to do it. And then especially you have to put you around your car, your body, showing. We just passed that law about a month ago, I think.
Were you worried that the police were going to arrest you?
Yes, I worry because when I find out he gets shot, and I said, oh my God, I'll be a murderer now. And then I asked the police the next day, I said, I'm okay. Do I have to need a lawyer? And he said, no, Miss Gilmore, you don't need a lawyer. And he said to me, you're really cleaning the city. That's what only he said. You're cleaning the city.
Yeah.
So if you don't need a lawyer, I said, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. That's a self-defense.
That's right.
I said, oh, that's good. So I don't need the lawyer. They don't give me a lot of information. People ask me questions, I tell their information.
Right.
I don't know why. I cannot keep secret.
Well, it's good.
I believe myself. I don't lie. So, and then they told me, be careful. That's when we bought another gun. Now I'm carrying 2 guns in my head. One is 380 and one is 38 because I lost my 38 because they took it. They keep it for evidence. So I have to buy me 38 again.
They're going
to
give it back to you though, right?
They're going to give it to me about 6 or 8 months, something like that, as long as they finish the court.
Hope they catch Savage number two, get it off the street because you got one Savage off the street. Like, hopefully it'll stay off the street for a while. Of course, they're going to put it in prison after they take care of it medically with taxpayer dollars and they'll put it in prison, use taxpayer money to keep it in prison, give it all the meals that it needs, let it watch cable cable TV, let it work out with weights, and then come out and commit crimes again.
Yeah.
It's a sad state of affairs in the United States when something like this happens over and over again.
Can I make a comment?
Of course.
Okay. My comment is, I'm giving this to the woman. I want them to carry guns, at least two, one to the car, one to their hips. Because most of the women get raped, most women get beat up by men. So we need to stop that. For these men like to beat us up, to rape us. That's protection for yourself. It does. Like me, that's when I survived. If without that gun I had, I'm dead anyway. So I'm advising the woman, you need to carry guns.
That's great advice, Lulu. Lulu Campbell, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. I'm so happy personally that it turned out the way it did. You're a great American. You're a great woman. I wish more people were like you and did what you did and feel what you feel. And I hope you're careful. I hope they catch this other criminal and put him away for a long time. And I hope that you sell your places and you get the right price, because obviously you're such a nice and kind person and you're not looking out for yourself. You're just taking care of everybody else. And thanks so much for all the time you spent.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking to me. At least I get my stress out.
I'm glad I could do whatever I could to help. Thanks again, Lulu.
Thank you so much. Bye.